Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Oh, hi, I didn't see you there. Welcome to the show. Before we get started, I urge you to go to our Patreon page at bobseskashow.com right now and sign up for our $10 a month level to get both the Shadow Docket bonus show and our Friday after party shows with me and Kimberly Johnson. Specifically, if you want to hear what it sounds like when I totally lose my schmodoinkle, the after party from Friday, October 8th is the place to be. Again, that's bobseskashow.com or patreon.com/bobseskashow. Choose the after party and Shadow Docket level, enter your information, and you're all set. By the way, there's an app for listening and an RSS feed if you're into those things too. Thanks so much for supporting this podcast. And now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Today's Rachel Maddow Show Award for Headline Excellence goes to Bob Seska.
The Bob Seska Show.
I always play that like it happened yesterday. It's been years since Rachel Maddow mentioned me on the show. I just want to be clear, full disclosure. From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, October 12, 2021, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, how are you? My name is Bob. Hi.
Hello, Bob.
Oh, hi. That's Rachel, too. Day 266 of the Biden-Harris administration, 393 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram at TheBobSeska and on Twitter at BobSeska_go. Speaking of go, here we go with Buzz.
When you say Buzz, Burbank.
Yep.
No.
You've said it all.
No, I don't know what color panties he's wearing. Hi, Bob. Hi, everybody.
Thank you for bringing that up. That's going to haunt me for years and years and years. Perhaps, than a refrigerator thing, I'm afraid.
Perhaps we'll discuss it later. In the meantime, he's Bob, I'm Buzz, host of the true crime podcast, Only Republicans in the Building. That's our name. So, should be very popular. Good news on the pandemic front this week. Dr. Fauci says we can celebrate both Halloween and Christmas. Thanksgiving, meanwhile, is not considered safe, but that's because of the fist fights. Southwest Airlines, trouble in the air. Southwest has canceled thousands of flights over the last few days, proving there is a cancel culture after all. We found it. Trump appointees allegedly stole expensive gift bags from last year's G7, which was canceled because of COVID. And because these were gifts from Trump to foreign leaders, some of the bags also contained IOUs.
Yes, of course they did.
Kim Kardashian West got bigger ratings than Trump when she hosted Saturday Night Live this week. Industry observers say they're pretty sure this means Kim Kardashian West will be our next president.
You know what? I almost didn't hit a rim shot for you on that one because it's too fucking scary.
It's a little too close to the truth. Yeah.
Yes. Maybe instead of a rim shot, I could have played this. Yeah, that's better. Thank you.
That's better, yes. With a new 9,000-piece set from Lego, you can make a replica of the Titanic.
Yay.
Of course, that's 9,000 pieces you have to pick up when it hits the Lego iceberg. And I'm afraid, I hate to end on a sour note, but more bad news for Mark Zuckerberg. Really, really bad news. He's just been diagnosed with algorithmia.
The Bob Seska Show.
I guess this can apply to Mark Zuckerberg, too. Not just Donald Trump. Send this to Mark.
Would you like to hide that Trump in a padded room? Could we just decide to lock him away real soon?
He could gloat and tweet and brag about inaugural size.
Oh, no more tweeting.
He can
Rocky Mountain Mike, Mary Ann, wow. Ann Arbor. Classic. One of my all-time favorites by Rocky Mountain Mike right there.
Yeah.
It is great, but I have to take issue with Baboon. I thought we decided he was an orangutan.
The baboon has a tail, and then the orangutan doesn't.
And
right?
Very little rhymes with orangutan.
Yeah, it's hard to stuff that big tail into his adult diapers. So that's the whole problem with the baboon comparison. Okay. So we're talking about locking people away, and there was a bit of a dust up on Twitter on Friday that got me to the point, Buzz, where I'm not sure if you've heard yet. I think some of our listeners have already heard the Friday after party. I was full blown. What's my nickname? Is it Captain Scary Pants? I think that's my. Yes. I think that's my nickname. Although I was full shouty Mitch Shoutface on the Friday after party, yelling about what happened with Rick Wilson's tweet thread on Friday morning, and it had to do with the House Select Committee, the 1-6 committee, and the fact that the deadline had expired for those subpoenas, for responses to these subpoenas midnight, right. I guess what we say, Friday morning, midnight.
And just to give this context, even if you already know this, it's good to give it, to remind ourselves of the context. Rick Wilson, former Republican strategist, has been, over the last couple of years, one of the leading voices in the resistance against Trumpism and the Trumpublican Party.
Yeah.
He's one of the original Never Trumpers. And he has consistently led well this resistance until he seemed to go nuts on Friday and say something that seemed completely out of character.
It was one of those things where he posted a tweet thread, and it was all geared toward screaming at the select committee about why the four people who they issued subpoenas to haven't been arrested yet. And he started out by claiming that he had sources. He got a bunch of calls, numerous calls that he fielded, people saying, oh my God, apparently, the select committee is not going to do what it needs to do. There's not going to be criminal referrals on, shirking all of these subpoenas.
He didn't just express skepticism about it. He came out and said, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Exactly. Right. And he's got sources to prove it. And then he went on to, and this is the part that really, really set me off to the point where I think maybe this should have been my theme music for the after party. Because I lost my fucking spadoinkle all over the place. You know why? Because Rick Wilson, in the process of trying to, I don't know what he was trying to do. I guess he was trying to push the committee into taking swift action somehow.
Maybe.
And in the process of doing that, he was repeating all of the same Republican tropes about Democrats and liberals that we've been hearing for 40 years now, 50 years now, about how Democrats are weak and wimpy and effete and generally flaccid in the face of challenges like this. And, look, I understand the idea of pushing our elected officials to do what we need them to do. That's the way representative democracy is supposed to function. But repeating these stereotypes does no one any good at all.
Right.
And so I went nuts on the after party and was yelling about this, and I think rightfully so, because what you had is not just Rick Wilson saying these things, but then fellow liberals in the comments, quote tweeting, replying on their own in many cases, based off of pegging off of Rick Wilson's tweet thread, saying the same goddamn thing. Oh my God, these Democrats, such wimps. Why don't they ever do anything? Why don't they file criminal contempt charges? And the
exploding heads. You see how fast disinformation spreads.
Yeah, yeah. Or stereotypes, inaccurate stereotypes.
Right.
And I say inaccurate stereotypes with information to back it up, with facts and history to back it up. You know how many cabinet members Republicans have filed criminal contempt charges against over the past, let's say, 20 years?
I do not.
One. That would be Eric Holder. Eric Holder was found in criminal contempt by the Republican-led House of Representatives during the Obama administration. So one, if you want to throw in Lois Lerner, that would be two. You know how many of the Democrats have filed criminal contempt charges against over the past 20 years? Also two, Wilbur Ross and Bill Barr in July of 2019. This is not something the Democrats shy away from. And so when you have someone like Rick Wilson using that kind of language.
Yeah, I was saying it was certain.
Yeah. It gives everyone the impression that the Democrats, as soon as they walk up to the plate, they suddenly go impotent and don't do anything, which is untrue. When Bill Barr was the Attorney General, the head of the Justice Department, the House Democrats approved criminal contempt charges against Bill Barr, the sitting Attorney General.
Rick Wilson, for all his greatness, you know, he's just flat wrong about this. And, you know, that can't be ignored. Rick Wilson doesn't know what's going to happen any more than I know what's going to happen or what's going to happen. Yeah. None of us know what's going to happen. I think they will press ahead. What I'm hearing from Adam Schiff and others is that this is definitely going to happen.
Yeah.
It, like everything else, takes way too long for most of us.
Yeah.
And many of us get discouraged while waiting. But there is a determination there. So if I had to put my money on one outcome or the other, I would pick the one that has Democrats enforcing these subpoenas. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And this is a process, too, Buzz, that isn't the responsibility of the Democrats. The Democrats didn't invent the process for referring to the Department of Justice criminal contempt charges. This is not something that Adam Schiff or Nancy Pelosi or Steny Hoyer or any of the other Democrats came up with on their own. This is a longstanding process, at least for the last 20 years. This is how it works. You discuss it in the form of the committee. You have a vote in the committee, and this is about criminal contempt charges. Mm-hmm. And then it goes to the floor of the House, and the full House has to vote on referring criminal contempt charges to DOJ. That's how it works, or at least that's how it's been working. And we have this idea, though, where I think what we end up doing is we end up defaulting into wanting to use authoritarian measures to beat back authoritarianism. And like summarily arresting people without going through due process is not who we are. That's not what we do, as certainly not as liberal Democrats. That's not how we should try to rebottle the idea of this rise of authoritarianism in this country. You don't want to use the same process, right?
We could be less reluctant. We could be more urgent in our pursuits, I think. There's definitely room for improvement. But I think it's unfair and unwise to predict what the committee and the results of its criminal referrals are going to be.
Yeah, and look, you know, to an extent, I absolutely sympathize with this sense of urgency. You know as well as I do that I have been beating this drum about the rise of Republican authoritarianism, the rise of fascist idiocracy, the consequences for staging an occupation and invasion of the U.S. Capitol.
I do think Democrats could push harder and could push faster than they have. And I think because of the urgency of our situation, they need to.
Although I don't know what that exactly means. I think we should keep up the pressure. That's fine. But as long as that pressure doesn't involve continuing these stereotypes. I mean, we remember that for, God only knows, 50 years, maybe throughout the entire span of my lifetime, the word liberal has been so tarnished, has been so bastardized by this ongoing conservative entertainment complex from the very start of it. They did was talk about liberal as if it's somehow weak and feckless, and it's not.
We need to redefine the terms. We dropped the ball after deciding to call ourselves progressives. I really like the label progressives even better than liberal.
Yeah.
Because progressive says to me, moving forward. What does that make the other party? regressive. And we should be saying that. And we should be using that. Do you want to go forward or do you want to go backward? These are your choices.
So, look, if we're going to lock up Donald Trump, as Rocky Mountain Mike and Mary in Ann Arbor were singing, it has to be done on the level. I'm talking about due process, rule of law, etc. Otherwise, we're just authoritarians with a different ideology. And so let's push. Let's continue to push. Let's make sure this happens. But remember that there is a process. You don't do a Thanos snap and then suddenly Steve Bannon is locked up in federal prison. That's not how any of this works. There has to be a process. It has to be legitimate. If it is seen at all as being illegitimate. Right. I mean, it's risky territory enough when you start investigating your political opponents. That's dicey territory in and of itself. Has to be done now. Make no mistake. But if it's not done correctly, if it's not done on the level, you're just giving them openings for legal challenges, certainly for the for all of the arguments that take place on Twitter, social media, certainly on Fox News Channel and all the other platforms. You don't want to give them more ammunition to say, oh, this is just a political witch hunt. You need to do it per the rule of law. I can't stress that enough.
I hear you saying what I've been saying all along. I hear us agreeing on the principle that correct justice is more important than swift justice. However, that doesn't make the swiftness of justice unimportant. It does need to move faster. I understand the need to get it right. Getting it right is the most important thing.
Yeah.
But because of the urgency of our situation, because of the threat to this republic, we also need to move quickly, and I would like to see more of that.
So in the course of doing the Friday After Party, by the way, BobSeskaShow.com if you want to subscribe. Yeah. If you want to hear me screaming, I mean, I don't think I've been that way in a long, long time.
Bob's panties were in a twist. They really were.
Very much so. So if you want to hear me screaming, go listen to the Friday After Party. But while we were doing the show, the word came down not only from Liz Cheney that Rick Wilson's thread was bullshit, but also from the committee account itself. I think it's January 6th committee. I think that's the
hearing
the
hearing
Twitter
it
account.
From Liz Cheney was great. I loved that.
Yeah, yeah. And they were both saying this is bullshit. But then what pissed me off even more, what got me screaming, I mean, it was an FU bonanza on Friday's show. What got me screaming is when Rick Wilson posted a GIF of Fred Astaire doing a tap dance and said, my work is done here, as if to take credit for the fact that, well, before his tweet thread, they weren't going to do anything. But after his tweet thread, yeah, now they're doing it.
An arsonist showing up at the fire saying, I did that.
I mean, it's one of those things that's inferior. We've seen it time and time again. It makes my head explode when someone who is wrong then suddenly takes credit for doing the thing that he didn't do.
And it's even worse when someone has been consistently right and then suddenly is very, very wrong. I know that Kimberly has said this, and I know I've said it before, and that is, we are grateful for the help that Rick Wilson and other never-Trumpers have given and are giving to our cause, but we must remember who they are at heart.
And someone like Rick Wilson is very willing to go around and say, yep, those effete, you know, sort of panty waist liberals with their lace tutus or whatever other stereotype they're going to throw onto the pile to make liberals seem like we're just doormats or something. It's not helping, not helping at all. But I understand that that's been his instinct for as long as he's been working in politics. And I guess giving him some sort of benefit of the doubt, I guess it takes a while to work that shit out of your system.
The problem is the damage that this does, the widespread damage. Because like you said, other people started picking up on it. And in much the same way we saw the media flogging these Quinnipiac numbers of 38% approval for Biden, as I said on Twitter, this makes people think Biden is unpopular, and people want to think what other people think, and so they're going to be less inclined to like Joe Biden when they hear a number that makes them believe that he is unpopular. As you said at the outset, that poll is an outlier. It has already been disproven by at least two subsequent polls. Biden's still at around 50%. I think it'll go higher once he's able to accomplish some of the things he's struggling so hard to do.
Yeah, as you said, there's one outlier, 38% or whatever it was, but that's been proved to be inaccurate.
And the, And the problem is the media runs with that, and then everybody becomes convinced, just in the same way that they followed Rick Wilson's tweet saying, they're never going to, you know, people believed that. Mm-hmm. People also believed this poll, and people just need to be careful about what they believe.
Yeah, yeah.
And rely more on facts and a set of facts as opposed to cherry-picking them.
Well, in the process, Buzz, of feeling a little disillusioned about my fellow liberals and their flirtations with authoritarianism, screw due process. Let's just throw them in jail and we'll work it all out later. The subject of secession came up again and civil war on, I believe it was Sunday, where there was this viral video going around of this red hat lady talking about how there's going to be a civil war. I can't do anything to stop it because it's OK if it happens. Here comes civil war. And so this was going around and everyone was talking about it. And what I was finding so frustrating is so many liberals going, OK, fine, leave. Secede. If you want to secede and have a civil war, go ahead and do that. But no, do not. That's not how it works. We've settled this question 150 years ago. We settled this question of secession and why it's such a horrible, horrible idea. Even the notion of saying, okay, I'm against secession for myself, but you can go ahead and do it. Even that is pro-secession. We don't want to do this for so many reasons. I've written about those reasons. I don't want to relitigate all of this again. But suffice to say, trust me when I say this, secession and civil war will lead to a bloodbath / cataclysm unlike anything we've seen before, at least on American soil.
Or will the bloodshed come first?
Yeah, well, that's part of it. We don't know when the bloodshed will come. We just know that the bloodshed will, in fact, happen. It is inevitable. Guerrilla warfare on the American continent is going to be a thing we're all going to have to deal with
if we stay on this course, we pursue these discussions of secession, it will. I don't know that we're doomed to that, but if we continue the discussion of secession, we will be doomed to that, yes.
Yeah. I mean, that poll from a week or two ago showing that a clear majority of Trump voters support secession, I think it was something like 52-53%. It also showed that 41% of Biden supporters also support secession.
They were okay with that.
Yeah.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out. You know, I don't know how secession would work in this day and age. How does Texas secede with Austin and Houston in the middle of it, and to a large degree Dallas? It's the cities that are blue, the rural areas that are red, and they are overrepresented, those rural areas, in our Congress. We have a lot of work to do on this republic, on this democracy, to right it, because some of the principles we've clung to for the last few hundred years have not held up well.
Yeah. Well, here's kind of what happens. Let's just go through the secession process in and of itself, and then civil war is secondary. With secession, the state legislature merely needs to codify it by passing a law that says we're going to secede. The governor signs that. We're removing ourselves from the United States. And then that's all that needs to happen as far as the state goes, whether it's Texas or some other state that has a trifecta. Without a trifecta, they're not going to be able to do it. So they do it, and then the United States doesn't recognize the secession. So you start to have little pockets of guerrilla warfare. You have terrorism occurring, and terrorism against civilian populations. Certainly you have terrorism against U.S. military bases, and then it snowballs out of control from there. You start to see journalists being arrested and targeted. You start to see schools being bombed. You start to see city halls and county courthouses and places like that sabotaged. I mean, it's a nightmare beyond belief, and we really shouldn't be entertaining this idea, apart from the fact that the end game is a badly subdivided North America, where at least the United States portion, or the former United States portion, is then suddenly composed of 50 or more individual nations, and each one of those nations much more susceptible to attack from a hostile foreign enemy like China or Russia.
Yeah, or co-opting by Russia. How do you think Putin is going to respond to part of the United States seceding from the rest of the United States?
Exactly.
He's going to cash in on that. It's the moment he's been waiting for. I don't know that it will come to secession. I do think there's a potential for violence and chaos, and that's my number one concern at this point.
Sure.
The secession argument to me seems like a lot of talk. I don't really see it happening, because likewise there'll be pockets of resistance to secession as well as pockets of resistance against it.
Well, my frustration is not so much the inevitability of it, because I don't think it is inevitable. Right. I think right now we're at a stage where it's becoming normalized and accepted, and the sheer number of people who ought to know better based on very clearly defined history. I mean, the bloodbath of the Civil War is pretty, pretty glaring as far as an indictment of the notion of secession. I'm afraid too many of us are forgetting that and not bearing that history in mind.
Close. I think too many of us don't even know it. Americans don't know a Civil War history. Most Americans don't know a lot about any kind of history. What's worse is most Americans don't know what's going on right now. 71% of Americans say they don't know what's in Biden's $3.5 trillion human infrastructure bill, but they know it's $3.5 trillion.
Right, and they know
but they don't know what's in it, Bob. And if they knew what was in it, the support for it would be, and really is, when you ask about specific issues, through the roof.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the poll numbers here, Buzz. 88% of Americans support federal funding for lowering prescription drug prices. 84% support federal funding for Medicare coverage for dental, eye, and hearing. 73% support federal funding for paid family medical leave. 67% support federal funding for universal pre-K. All of these things are in the American Jobs and Families Plan.
But 71% of the people don't know that those things are in the American Jobs Plan.
Yes, it's like the Affordable Care Act. It's like Obamacare all over again. Hate the bill, love everything in it.
And it's ignorance. It's a problem with education. It's a problem with the news media. People don't know the history to which you refer. They don't even know what's going on right now.
And look, to a certain extent, there are groups of people where that's not surprising. What gets frustrating for me is when the normals, who ought to know more, who ought to know better, end up kind of careening down that road. And that's what really makes my, my ears shoot steam like Uncle Fester on the Addams Family. I mean, that's where I get frustrated.
I do think a lot of the secession talk is a lot of hot air. I think people are in a spouting off mood these days. And that includes progressives who are rightly out of patience with all of this. And in reference to your remarks earlier about we have to follow the rule of law, there are procedures and processes, a lot of Democrats are thinking more and more in terms of fight fire with fire. And because they are not well educated on how the law works, how things work, this is a golden opportunity for the media to pick up on where education failed. This is if the media loves these juicy stories so much, how about the one about overthrowing the government? That would make a really really juicy story for them to concentrate on if they were to look in that direction, but they're still playing the both sides thing.
Yeah, exactly. Again, we just don't want to fall into the trap. We don't want to fall into the same hole where the red hats are, where they believe, okay, well, any means necessary to achieve our goals. It doesn't matter what those means are. If it means tearing down the entire electoral system in the United States, fine, we'll do it as long as Trump ends up as the last man standing out of that.
We understand the temptation to do that at this point, but that's not the way to go, and you know it.
Right. So look, we very lightly are tossing around this notion of secession. We're very lightly flirting with the notion of authoritarianism. Some of us are. Enough of us are. We'll put it that way. To start something that could end up going someplace that we don't want it to go. 50% casualties is what we're talking about. We're talking about guerrilla warfare. We're talking about economic depression on a massive scale. These are all things that happen in the context of secession. And you know what? The first people to get steamrolled and all that the poor and middle class. They're done. Sure. The rich people buy their way out of it. Like always. That woman in that video, someone else is going to go fight her civil war for her. Mm-hmm. And we've reached that point where I'm afraid a good many of us have lost sight of what democracy is all about. I just want to conclude with this. Democracy is a debate around ideas. It's a debate of words. If you think that democracy should be enforced at the point of a gun, you don't understand democracy. Certainly, we defend ourselves when necessary. You don't fight our domestic political debate using firearms and civil war and shit like that. And anyone who's got that idea and is executing that idea, from the insurrectionists all the way down to the fucking Boogaloo boys, they're doing democracy wrong. They just don't know it because they're ignorant about history, they're ignorant about politics, they're ignorant about government. And they need to learn something because this is not democracy.
There's ignorance again. And how do you address ignorance? Yeah. Education and journalism. Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
Think through what you wish for.
Well, coming up here in a second, we're going to have a little bit of fun. I know it's hasn't been so fun so far, but
I'm totally against having fun.
I'm craving fun. I need desperate amounts of fun right now because, well, you know, everything we just said in the last 20 minutes. But there's a clip from Donald Trump's rally in Iowa the other day that is hilarious. Yeah.
Chosen not because it's incendiary, but because it's going to be fun.
Yes, because it's absolutely going to be
fun. Right.
Here's the thing. I have no idea what the hell he's talking about. I think it has something to do with instant replay and the election. But we'll play that clip in just a second. And credit where credit is due, Hal Sparks dug this out of the Iowa rally and was talking about it on his podcast. Holy God, this is going to be an interesting little clip. Stick around for that. Back with more show right after these words.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
The Bob Seska Show.
One of our regulars here on the show, this is Richard Turgeon, brand new single called Be Who You Really Want to Be.
Nice.
This is from his EP called Campfire Songs, richardturgeon.bandcamp.com to support Richard and buy all of his music.
Be Who You Want to Be, that's a good theme for now. And one of the things I like about being on the show is you allow me to be myself, even on days I don't know who I am.
Yeah. Welcome to my last 4 days. God, I got to go everyone from Rick Wilson to people who agree with me on practically everything. And I'm yelling at everybody sometimes. Yeah. You know, it happens. It happens. That's the way democracy works. You debate with each other. You don't.
Time for a long bike ride.
Yeah, exactly. Certainly did that on Saturday. Saturday, I happened upon this place that was selling pumpkins, and they also had this. I don't know. It looked like a giant artillery piece. It looked like a huge cannon that would launch like a nuclear weapon. It looks like something that you would see from like the Iraq War or something.
Traditional. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were loading up pumpkins into this thing and firing pumpkins into this farm field. And yeah, that's what we do as human beings. Humans are so weird. We fire produce with artillery. That's how it works here. All right, moving along here. This past weekend, Donald Trump did another rally. And yes, I'm aware of, oh, don't amplify the former guy and all that shit.
I guess, but I would draw the line at C-SPAN carrying his rally.
Yeah.
I have the same problem with that that a lot of our listeners have with that.
Yes, really jumping the gun on Campaign 24 or whatever the logo said. But Donald Trump went off about the big lie, talking about the election, just throwing more gasoline on this gigantic nuclear bonfire that he started with his red hats. And he just completely short-circuited. Remember this throughout the last 4 years or the previous four or 5 years about how Donald Trump would just completely short-circuit in the middle of one of his rallies and then try to retcon the fuck up by like re-explaining the word that he screwed up in a way that made it make sense, even though it didn't work in either sense. See if you can decipher the gibberish.
I'll be listening and analyzing. Go ahead.
Here you go.
And it's like baseball now and football. They do action replays in magnified fortune. They have a fashionable magnified tape, and you can see just about everything.
Wow. Can you play that slower?
Yeah, okay. First, we've got something about a magnified fortune.
Oh, no. You go back to the beginning of the clip. Okay. We may have to play this little spurts at a time. At the very beginning, we start with the phrase action replays.
Okay, yeah, here we go.
All right, yeah.
Here we go.
And it's like baseball now and football. They do action replays.
No, first of all, it's not called action replay, right?
No, that's correct.
It's
that's
called instant replay. Yeah.
Give us another phrase.
Here. Okay, here we go. Here's the next part. So action replays, not a thing he's making.
Not a thing, right.
He's in magnified fortune.
Oh, stop. Magnified fortune? Yes. I think he meant to say magnified fashion, but his brain short-circuited, and so he said magnified fortune.
Magnified, what did you say? What was he trying to say?
He meant to say in a magnified fashion, and it came out magnified fortune. Magnified fortune was what he said.
Why would he even want to say magnified fashion? That's such a weird way to describe looking at an instant replay. You just say, it plays back in slow motion and they can tell whether there's a penalty. Instead, he's like, instant action replay and magnified fortune.
This is a syndrome I love to watch for in real life with people on the world. People who try to compensate for their lack of education by using words bigger than they can carry.
Yeah, yeah.
It's always to hilarious effect. They become Norm Crosby at that point, for those of you who know who that is. Was.
Yeah. Know your depth, Donald Trump. And then the next part, I'm not sure what the hell he's talking about, other than maybe... you said fashion, right? He said
he meant to say magnified fashion. I'm pretty sure. Because that's what he's going to come back with, a version of that. But what he said was mactified.
Yeah.
MACTIFIED. Mactified fortune. FORSHION. Or word, spelling to that effect. So we had action replays in mactified fortune. Where do we go from here?
Yeah, well, that's the fashion part of it now explains why he says fashionable next.
See, so, I'm good at this.
Okay.
This is the next phrase.
Right. I'm so glad you're here. All right, here we go. Next.
They have a fashionable magnified tape.
Stop. Stop. See, again, he can't put the words in the right order. It's not just a magnified fashion. It's a fashionable magnified, or whatever he's magnification,
tape.
Whatever he said. Tape, yeah. So the words are scrambled. This does really actually indicate a short circuit in his brain.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess what happens is, since the tape is fashionable, that means its shoes match its belt. So that's same that's color, right. Yeah. So you got to make sure. No white after Labor Day for those action replays, right? Holy God. Oh, my God. So Donald Trump Jr., you can feel free to shut the fuck up about Joe Biden from now on. Thank you very much. And Joe Biden's stammer. Yeah. Because magnified fortune is not.
Magnified fortune.
Magnified.
MACTIFIED. Fortune. FORSHION. Magnified fortune.
Just for good measure, let's go through this again. All in one
please,
big chunk.
Please, please,
and
please.
It's like baseball now and football. They do action replays in magnified fortune. They have a fashionable magnified tape.
The fashionable magnified tape. Oh, my God. And when that tape walks down the runway.
His brain, he wanted to say in magnified fashion, and he said magnified fortune. Mm. Something shorted out there. There's a synapse problem there. And trust me, I know my synapses.
Oh, my God. Okay. So let's do this real quick. We have another COVID denier who has tested positive for COVID and is hospitalized.
It's time for Corpse of the Week.
The former congressman and Tea Party leader, Alan West, has tested positive for COVID. He is hospitalized right now. He is receiving treatment with monoclonal antibodies and at the same time, screaming about Big Pharma.
I'm not going to take the vaccine because of Big Pharma. Yeah. I'm going to take the monoclonal antibodies because of Big Pharma.
Doesn't make any goddamn sense. But of course, you know, all the red hats are going, yes, why no? Screw Big Pharma. Take those monoclonal antibodies.
It wouldn't be so bad if you hadn't done it in magnified fortune.
Oh, shit. All right. Well, meantime, Greg Abbott is banning vaccine mandates. In Texas. And, you know, on one hand, look, this is happening all over the place and it's being challenged legally and it doesn't have a whole lot of teeth to it. But where does this, and you know, I'm always getting ahead of myself and I will readily admit that.
I'll try to help.
Yeah, yeah. I tend to see something and then extrapolate it out where it's going to be in mm-hmm. a few years.
You do that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I get this sense that the Republicans' anti-vax movement at this point is going to lead to the end of all vaccine mandates in their respective states where they've got trifectas and can do it.
Here's what Greg Abbott has done, and understand from the outset, he's doing this for one reason and one reason only, and that's to give fresh meat to the base. This is all about feeding the Trump supporters what they want to hear. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with what he really believes or what he really thinks. What he's doing this because he knows it will make the angry red hats even angrier and more motivated. And what he's done is removed the state mandate for all vaccines, meaning diphtheria, go crazy. Polio, go nuts, because Texans don't have to get those vaccines anymore, by God, because they're Texans. And this is the hypocrisy of this, in this case, is that within a day of that, he had tweeted that he wasn't going to allow the new requirement that stores, he wasn't going to allow what California had done, and that's require stores to have gender-neutral toy aisles, because he said nobody's going to tell businesses in this state what to do. And this is the guy who just said businesses are not allowed to have mandates. Schools are not allowed to have mandates. And again, this is all red meat for the base. That's all that's about. And the hypocrisy, we have to keep underscoring the hypocrisy of this. And it's exactly like the hypocrisy on the subject of abortion, where and vaccines, where we say, my body, my choice on the vaccines. When it comes to abortion, your body, my choice. And so we have to keep underscoring the hypocrisy of these things, because the one thing that's consistent about these Republicans, these Trump-publicans, is hypocrisy.
So this is about all vaccines, Buzz? This is about...
Yes.
It's a ban on a mandate for all vaccines, Texans, including mumps and diptet and all of that shit.
I think he wants the Texas legislature to back him, and I believe that they will.
But he
wants to remove the mandates for all vaccines. It should be up to the parents.
So my thinking that, we're entering into a new plague time, maybe 3 years, 4 years, 5 years from now because of this movement. It's actually something that's happening now. They're actually banning those mandates for all vaccines now. I'm sitting here,
understanding of it. Yes. Okay. I believe that's correct.
I'm sitting here under the misapprehension that, they're starting with COVID, but eventually they'll get around to all of the other vaccines for the diseases.
You know, having had pointed out to him the hypocrisy of banning one vaccine mandate but not another, he decided, this is what the freedom the Red Hats want. So,
holy fucking shit.
My God, we'll just let them decide.
Oh, my God. Well, you know what this means. This means a rise in mumps, a rise in rubella, a rise in measles, all of the things that you get vaccinated against as a kid when you go to school. All of those things are going to reemerge again. It's not going to be just about COVID anymore. These guys are starting Petri dishes in their red states, and they're dropping those Petri dishes in the middle of schools right now. There are going to be kids. I mean, oh my God. This is tremendously bad news. I had no idea it was this bad. I knew that there was a guy in the Florida State Senate who was proposing a law that would ban all vaccine mandates. And that was just in the beginning stages of that process. But now if this means literally all vaccines are no longer required to send your kid to school, holy shit. Plague times. Plague times. And this is...
It certainly sets the stage for it. I'm still checking to see if I spoke out of school there. But as I understand it, and what I've read is that this will apply to all vaccines.
Okay. Greg Abbott, Office of the Texas Governor. Let me see here.
It prohibits vaccine mandates. And I think it's directed as COVID-19. Yeah, it does talk about, it is specifically aimed at COVID-19. I guess maybe you were more correct in saying that this will lead to, because you do have the hypocrisy of banning mandates for one vaccine and not another. And I do know that the legislature, there are legislators in Texas who want to consider that. So I'll withdraw that claim, and I apologize for that. But it certainly does, as you said, open the door for the banning of mandates of any vaccine.
Yeah. I'm looking at the executive order now, and I'm looking at this here. It says, Dear Deputy Secretary Esparza, pursuant to his powers as governor of the state of Texas, Greg Abbott has issued the following. Executive Order Number GA-40, relating to prohibiting vaccine mandates, subject to legislative action. The original executive order is attached to this letter of transmittal. And it says here, whereas I, Greg Abbott, governor of Texas, issued a disaster proclamation on March 13, 2020, certifying that blah, 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 the Texas code, that novel coronavirus poses an imminent threat of disaster for all Texas counties. And whereas, yada, yada, yada.
That's the focus of it, certainly, is COVID. But from the opening, it certainly sounds like any and all vaccines. And it certainly sounds like that's where Texas is headed.
Yeah. Whereas countless Texans fear losing their livelihoods because they object to receiving COVID-19 vaccination for reasons of personal conscience based on a religious belief or a medical reason, including prior recovery from COVID-19. No entity in Texas can compel receipt of a COVID-19 vaccine.
So it's specifically aimed at COVID. But clearly it opens the door.
Yes, exactly.
Hypocrisy remains.
Right. I'm going to give you half right.
Half credit on
that one. Yeah.
Sorry about that. Because I like to do better than that.
Well, no. I mean, it's vague. And it's that kind of vagueness that gives people the wrong impression. Certainly, it's that kind of vagueness that opens the door for expanding that legislative action to go beyond COVID-19. I mean, as I said a second ago, is something that is percolating under the surface right now. And something like this gives it a lot more fuel, because you ban one vaccine.
Yeah.
And if that's upheld in court, then they could say, well, there aren't any mandates that are valid here as far as vaccines go.
Right.
And that's a major issue. Yeah. Okay. Wow. Shit.
Live and learn. Well, we all learned together today, didn't we?
Yes. We all went through a thing there, didn't we? Meanwhile, hundreds of thousands of soldiers have yet to get vaccinated. The deadline is November 28. And I imagine all of those soldiers will eventually get vaccinated. Otherwise, they're going to be...
The vast majority will. Yeah, many are just waiting to the last minute to make a statement, I think.
Yeah.
Actually, the vaccination rate is quite high in the Army. I believe, what is it, 90%? The Marine Corps, it's like 72% or something. That's not as good. So I don't know what they're going to do over the Marine Corps, but it doesn't surprise me that would be the branch of the service that would be most resistant to the vaccine.
In the meantime, Merck has asked the FDA for emergency authorization for its antiviral pill for treating COVID-19.
Right.
After it halved hospitalizations and deaths in a clinical trial. If authorized, the drug, which I'm not even going to try to pronounce, would be the first antiviral pill to treat COVID-19. And probably what most of the anti-vaxxers will end up taking even though it's going to be emergency use, even though it's going to be big pharma, even though it's going to be brand new and therefore a mystery in terms of its long-term effect. These people won't get the shot for all of those reasons, but they'll take the goddamn pill, won't they?
Yes, they will. And for those of you considering using monoclonal antibodies or the new COVID pill to treat your COVID-19, how about this? How about don't get it in the first place?
Yeah.
Because all the pill will do is cut by half your chances of being hospitalized or dying.
Yeah.
Those, I'd like a little better odds than that myself, and mm-hmm. I think I have them. With the vaccine, the monoclonal antibodies will keep you from getting terribly sick. But in both cases, you're infected. And in both cases, and this is the point that so many resistant Americans forget, you're exposing other people. This isn't about you.
Right.
You are Typhoid Mary. You are spreading disease. Mm-hmm. Stop it. We won't allow it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter whether you're opposed to big pharma or whether you're an absolute bodily purist and doesn't want any sort of chemicals in your system. It's beyond that. It's about protecting society. It's always been about that. It's been about your community. It's been about your family and friends. It's been about returning to a normal society. All this shit with mandates is temporary. The idea of wearing masks when you go out in public, temporary, so we can defeat this thing. I mean,
that's the idea. It was supposed to be temporary. The resistors make it more permanent.
Yeah. It's important to recap some of the basics of all of this occasionally, because I think we end up getting lost in the noise and the complications
people,
of it.
Yeah. People think we're back. People are not up on the news. Yeah. They're not up on their history. They're not paying attention to what's going on. And many, if not most, have concluded the pandemic is over.
Yeah.
And this is what we're dealing with. And, you know, the battles we fight every day in terms of democracy, most Americans don't know how close to the end we really are if there isn't action. And I would suspect that most Americans think folks like us are crazy for screaming about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have, speaking of crazy, we've got some insurrection news coming up here in just a second.
Oh, goody.
There are loopholes being exposed in all of this, and insurrectionists gaining privileges that they should not be receiving by any stretch. I'm not talking about just the short sentences and the slaps on the wrist. I'm talking about privileges that would never be given to anyone else, certainly not black people.
Right.
Who are routinely screwed by law enforcement. Right. But these insurrectionists get away with murder. Okay, we're going to talk about that and a whole lot more right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska.
Yeah, one last go around here with Flying Jacob. Heaven in Your Eyes is the name of the song from their Renew album. Yeah. From Baltimore, Maryland, hon. They no longer exist. Flying Jacob. This band has broken up. Just such a goddamn shame, but I'm sure they're going to reform in some other permutation with
I hope so.
Some of these members, because so disappointing. I was really hoping that the pandemic would end swiftly so I could drive up to Baltimore. It was only maybe 45 minutes from here, right, and see these guys play, but not anymore. Not anymore. So we're saying fond and hearty adieu to Flying Jacob.
So many missed opportunities for so many of us during the pandemic that we all thought would be over before now and should have been over by now and would have been over by now had it not been for Donald Trump.
Right, right. And so here we are, I mean, lives being destroyed because Donald Trump wanted to get reelected and he made that sacrifice. And you know what? I'm not going to fucking do anything about the pandemic. And you know why? Because I want to win reelection. And he didn't even win. All of that sacrifice, all of that death in his plan to get reelected, he didn't even win. What a tragedy.
Failure.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, and you know what? This is a big steaming pile of bullshit right here. Right, Flynn?
You know what?
Yeah.
This is bullshit. This is bullshit.
Thank you, Flynn.
I brought a shovel.
This D.C. federal judge has granted permission for a January 6th defendant, Thomas Fee of New York, to travel to attend this afternoon, or this was the other day, to travel to the Pittsburgh Steelers Denver Broncos game.
Well, sure.
Yeah. Meanwhile, as this guy who invaded and helped invade an occupied Capitol building gets to go to a football game, these four black girls were arrested in Tennessee, cuffed. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about 8-year-olds.
Right.
Cuffed in front of their classmates.
Law and order, Bob. Law and order.
Yeah. According to Ken Armstrong for ProPublica, three police officers went to an elementary school in Tennessee and arrested four black girls. One girl fell to her knees. Another threw up. Police handcuffed the youngest, an 8-year-old with pigtails. Their supposed crime, watching some boys fight and not stopping them. The police wound up arresting 11 kids in total using a charge called criminal responsibility. The arrests created outrage. State lawmakers called the case unconscionable, inexcusable, insane. So how did this happen? The arrests took place in Rutherford County, which had been illegally jailing kids for years, all under the watch of Judge Donna Scott Davenport. Donna Scott Davenport is the only elected juvenile court judge the county has ever had. She oversees the court. She oversees the juvenile jail. She directed police on what she called our process for arresting children. In a deposition, a lawyer asked Davenport about taking the bar exam. It took her 9 years and 5 attempts to pass. 3 years after she got her law license, she was on the bench. Davenport describes her work as a calling. I'm here on a mission, she said. It's God's mission.
Yeah.
She says children must have consequences. She encourages parents to use drug testing kits on their kids. Don't buy them at Dollar Tree, she says. The best ones are your reputable drug stores. Under Davenport, Rutherford County locked up a staggering 48% of children whose cases were referred to juvenile court. The statewide average is 5%. God, it goes on and on and on, this thread by Ken Armstrong, again from ProPublica. I strongly urge you to go and read this. His Twitter handle is by Ken Armstrong, sort of like a byline.
I have to mourn this because this it's more proof that we are our own worst enemies.
Yeah.
Police have virtually destroyed their credibility.
Yeah.
As I said last week, the courts from the Supreme Court down have destroyed their own credibility, not outsiders. Nobody from the outside ruined the police credibility. Nobody from the outside ruined the court's, credibility.
Yeah.
And nobody from the outside ruined journalism's credibility. And yet they are all ruined. Who's responsible? The cops, the courts, and the journalists, I'm afraid. Have been their own demise. And we need all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have and respect those things. And we have them less and less because of the professions themselves, because of the people themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have to mourn that. And on the subject of black justice, if you haven't, go to my feed if you can. It's Buzz Burbank at Michael J. Elston. At Michael J. Elston is the handle. I posted a video of a little girl addressing a public meeting in Charlotte the other day. And it'll rip your heart out in a way that will make you stronger and more loving and more understanding. And the lack of justice for black Americans, Americans of color, is appalling. And it's made worse. It's salt in the wound when this guy goes to a game.
Yeah, yeah. And so what we're seeing here is the glaring disparity between what happens to, in this case, white male insurrectionists and 8-year-old black girls, and how the difference between the law enforcement treatment of those people couldn't be more separate. Couldn't, I mean, just vastly, vastly different. There is no justice for one side, and there is an overdoing of punitive action against the other side. And so another case of this, where this boogaloo boy has confessed that he fired 13 shots at a police precinct to frame black George Floyd protesters.
And most Americans will never hear this story, sadly,
exactly,
but it's true.
Exactly my point, Buzz. This is something that is getting swept under the rug, and no one's talking about the fact. All we hear is about, oh, it's Antifa on one side, and it's the Proud Boys on the other side, and they're just battling it out. It's both sides, and they're both... No, 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 no. This is one side pretending to be the other side so as to make the other side look bad. That is called rat fucking. This is terrorism. This is violence.
Look it conducted up, kids.
As a means of rat fucking, pretending to be your opponent to make your opponent look bad.
While accusing Democrats of doing the same thing.
Yeah.
They've accused Democrats of planting Antifa or that Antifa is responsible for the January 6th insurrection.
Yep.
And, you know, in that case, it's not true. There have been no cases uncovered of any such thing.
Yeah.
And here we have a case. And as you said on Twitter yesterday, I believe, this is just one.
Yeah.
There are probably more.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you have to flash back again to July 2020 to have another case here. I'm sure there have been cases in the meantime, but another case that I recalled was in July of last year. A masked, umbrella-wielding man was accused of helping incite riots and looting in the aftermath of George Floyd's police-involved death. He was identified as a member of a white supremacist group that aimed to stir racial tensions amid largely peaceful Black Lives Matter protests, according to police. And you hardly ever see any investigations along these lines. Well, credit where credit is due. The first thing, the Boogaloo Boys thing, was Yahoo News. This second one from July 2020 was ABC News. There is reporting on it. It just doesn't get talked about. It doesn't,
You won't see it on the nightly news, which many people is still the source of news, and or it'll get buried in the Twitter feed somewhere.
Yeah,
most people will never know this.
Yeah.
The lack of information and knowledge out there is appalling, and why we are where we are today.
I mean, there are probably some bad apples along the lines that do shitty things, but I think the vast majority of these attacks, these sorts of attack, whether it's against a police precinct or against a business, some sort of violent attack during the protest, probably staged by the people who can politically or otherwise benefit from the Black Lives Matter movement being tarnished that way, being blamed.
This is something. Yeah, this is something that needs to be covered by the media in magnified portion.
Thank you. Hey, you know what? Let's end on that note, huh? Holy
shit. Sure. That's the best. It's the best we're gonna do today, Bob.
Yes, you and your fashionable magnified tape. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. So, look, this is obviously they have to do this to make black people appear as though they're confirming the stereotypes that the Boogaloo Boys and the white supremacists make up.
Read Mary Trump's book. It'll all make sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, this is as old as Reconstruction and Jim Crow and all of that shit that went on.
Right.
You know, Lost Cause mythology, reinforcing that. We saw this, all kinds of shit like this happen in the South, where black people constantly framed for things that they did not do.
And in our past, beaten, shot, burned, and then hanged.
Yeah. Oh, my yeah. God. Yeah. Okay. Well, lots more to talk about coming up on the Shadow Docket Show. You know, I almost said the Postmortem Show again. Coming up on the Shadow Docket Show, that's about 20 minutes long. We do that after this music is done playing. Buzz and I just keep on talking, and we take that that bit of the show and we put it up on our Patreon page. Again, patreon.com/BobSeskaShow or simply BobSeskaShow.com. Sign up for $5 a month, and you get two Postmortem Shows per week on Tuesdays and Thursdays after the free show. Did I say Postmortem again? I think I may have said Postmortem.
You may have, yeah. The Shadow Docket.
Shadow Docket, yeah.
See, well, here's the deal, folks. What we just did, that's the warm-up. The real show starts in a minute.
Yeah, exactly. And so if you sign up at $10 a month, by the way, you get not only the Shadow Docket, but you also get the Shadow Docket Tuesdays and Thursdays, but then you also get the Friday After Party. So $5 a month, just the Shadow Docket. $10 a month, the Shadow Docket shows and the After Party shows. So you can listen to me screaming on Friday with Kimberly Johnson. Oh, my God.
When his panties get out of twist.
Okay, all of that is coming up next. Lots more to talk about. Mike Flynn and all kinds of fun shit. That's coming up next. Take care, folks. Bye-bye.
Love you.